So adults, we invite you to stand with us and turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Amen. And if you need some help finding it, just raise your hand. Let me know. Amen. Last book in the Bible, Revelation. And we want you to turn to chapter number 4 in the book of Revelation. And I also want you to get out Revelation chapter number 7. So hold both of those texts in your Bible. So I'm going to read a couple of verses, or several verses from Revelation chapter 4 and several verses from Revelation chapter number 7. The Bible reads in Revelation 4. Say amen. We've located the text. Revelation 4 chapter number 1 says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and in the back." Go over to chapter number 7. And I want you to continue to note the theme. John says in chapter 7, verse 1, "After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree." And then if you go to verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Here ends the reading of God's blessed and eternal word. May edify and sanctify the people of God. I will that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, "The Presence of the Lord is Here." The presence of the Lord is here. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that your words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, God. May minds be illuminated, God. May souls be convicted, God. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone under the sound of my voice. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to receive what you have prepared for the church today. We love you, God, and we thank you. Let your anointing fall fresh in this place, that someone may move from where they are to where you want them to be, O God. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Let the church say, Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. So, beloved, today I wish to conclude a four-part sermon series that I started several weeks ago. For those of you who are visiting with us, over the last 4 weeks, the Lord has led me to preach and speak about the presence of the Lord. Hence the title of the sermon today, the presence of the Lord is here. Today is the fourth part in the four-part series. And if you look on the screen, I started this several weeks ago back on January the 27th, and I gave an introduction. And then on the 3rd of February, I talked about the presence of God in the natural realm. And then in the two Sundays after that, the 17th of February, I talked about the presence of God in the human realm. And then today, I wish to end this four-part sermon series on the presence of God in the heavenly realm. So note the progression from the created order to the human order to the heavenly order. I believe that we see a consistency about the presence of God. Now, the word presence, as we have looked at over the last 4 weeks, over the last four sermon parts in this sermon series, is the word Shekinah, S-H-E-K-I-N-A-H, Shekinah. We have often pronounced, I remember growing up hearing this word pronounced Shekinah. It is the word, it is a Hebrew word that means literally the presence. And so when you see in the Old Testament the word presence in its anglicized form or its English form, just think in the Hebrew form, it is the word Shekinah, or as some might say, Shekinah. That word Shekinah talks about the literal presence of God in the midst of God's people. But it also gives allusion to the fact that God's presence, the remnant of who God is, the manifestation of who God is, can also be seen in various parts of our existence. And so I started talking about the Shekinah, the presence of God in the natural realm. And if you go back to Genesis 1, the Bible says that in the beginning God created. He created the heavens and separated the darkness from the light. And day one came into existence. It said, it went on to say that God created the beast of the field and the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And he said it was good. And then God created, separated the waters from the firmaments, and not necessarily in this order, but separated the water from the firmament and said it was good. Then God strewn the stars across the midnight sky and said it was good. He put the major light to rule by day. We know it as the sun. He put the minor light to rule by night. We know it as the moon. And after he did that, he said it was good. How many of you know that everything God creates is good? There's nothing that God creates that is not good. Amen, somebody. And so that is why, even as Annalisa talked about this N-word, we must remember that God did not make anything that is derogatory or anything that is to be subjugated or anything that is to be dominated. For everybody, regardless of their race, their creed, their ethnicity, anything that God created is good. And God, I serve a good God, and God creates good things. Amen, somebody. And so when you see the presence of God in the natural realm, understand that God's presence is stamped in that which God created. When the rivers are flowing, you can see the presence of God. When the bees are buzzing, you can see the presence of God. When the birds are flapping, you can see the presence of God. When the flowers are beaming, you can see the presence of God. When the sun is shining, you can see the presence of God. When the moon is glowing, you can see the presence of God. When the fish are swimming, you can see the presence of God. When the clouds are floating, you can see the presence of God. When the snow is falling, you can see the presence of God. If you just look carefully, you can see the presence of God. Amen, somebody. And so therefore, that which God created is good. God God doesn't make any mess. God doesn't make any junk. And so therefore, our next level of creation, when God took dust of the ground, shaped it into the form of a human being, and Adam, which literally in Hebrew means earth, Adam, the earth man, was not animated until God breathed the ruach, the Jewish called it the ruach, the breath of life, into Adam's body. And then Adam became animated. He became alive. Come on, somebody. God creates and we move. God speaks and things happen. And so Adam became a living being. And I believe that we are created a little lower than the angels, but we are created in the image of God. In Latin, they call it the Imago Dei. The image of God, deity, is stamped within us. And so therefore, when you look at your fellow brothers and sisters, you ought to see God in them. I know they may not exhibit their God traits when they're supposed to, but you've got to see God in them, because you don't always exhibit your God traits when you're supposed to. And other folks should see God in you. And if we can see God in each other, then the better off we will all be. I don't care if you're black or you're white, if you're Asian or you're Hispanic, I don't care what your racial ethnic makeup is, you are created in the image of God. And so therefore you carry the very presence of God in your creation. I know babies born out of wedlock, but I don't believe they're here by accident. I was one of those babies born out of wedlock. Didn't have daddy. Mama was 14 years old. But I'm here, aren't I? And I'm standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. God doesn't make any junk. And God doesn't make any mistakes. And so therefore, the presence of God is what you and I must understand, its significance and its power. And so that which God creates also bears and manifests some of his presence. And so therefore, we then look at the text today and we begin. And now I'm going to go a little higher now. We started off with the created order, and now we've gone to the human order. And that's why when Moses said in Exodus 33, he says, if your presence doesn't go with me, then I don't have any business moving from where I am. He said, God, I can only move if your presence go. But if your presence doesn't go, I have no business moving. Because I will not be successful if your presence isn't before me. Or do I have a witness on that this morning? How many of you know that you will not be successful in your endeavors if the presence of God has not been with you and is not with you? Moses made all of the practical and spiritual sense in the world. God, if you don't go before me, then we might as well not even move. Because he understood the presence of God. And so therefore God manifested God's presence with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. God manifested his presence in the Ark of the Covenant. And so when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, when they moved throughout the wilderness, they were literally carrying the presence of God. God showed his presence when he rained down manna from on high. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that the very presence of God is what got you here this morning? The very presence of God woke you up this morning. The very presence of God gave you something to eat this morning. The very presence of God allowed you to have something to put on your back this morning. The very presence of God kept a roof over your head last night. The very presence of God had angels all around your car in order for you to make it to the church. The very presence of God. Somebody say, thank you for your presence, God. Your Shekinah. And so therefore, the presence of the Lord is here. Psalm says that in your presence, Lord, Psalm 16, in your presence, Lord, is the fullness of joy. And so it brings me to my second point, right? First point, God, what God creates is good. and it bears His presence. It reflects His presence. The second point is that we need to figure out how to stay in the presence of the Lord. So if in the presence is the fullness of joy, and then if I'm not joyful, then I need to figure out how to get in His presence. Because you can't get in the presence of the Lord and not experience some joy. You didn't hear that this morning, did you? I know some of y'all come to church and you may not have joy in your heart. You should. But if you are truly in the presence of the Lord, you forget about everybody around you. You forget about who's doing what around you. Because in the presence of the Lord, you are caught up in the Spirit of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, you're not worrying about what other folk are wearing. You're not worrying about what other folk are doing. You're caught up in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, if you don't shout, the rocks will shout. But if the rocks shout, you've got something to shout about. In the presence. Do I have a witness this morning? The presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. That means that I'm going to reflect who God is. And if I get close to God and His presence, then I ought to reflect something about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is different than the spirit of the flesh. That which is earthly and fleshly is that which is envious, that which is jealous, that which is backbiting, that which is backstabbing. You're not getting the message, are you? The flesh is negative, but the Spirit is where you want to be. And if you can just stay in the Spirit of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, the better off you will be. If you manifest the presence of the Lord on your job, the better off you will be. Even though your boss may be getting on your last nerve, if you can just stay in the presence of the Lord, they can say what they want to say, do what they want to do. I'm caught up in the Spirit of the Lord. The presence of the Lord doesn't tolerate negativity. The presence of the Lord doesn't tolerate volatility. The presence of the Lord doesn't tolerate derogativity. The presence of the Lord does not tolerate insensitivity. The presence of the Lord does not tolerate egocentricity. The presence of the Lord doesn't tolerate being caught up in yourself. The presence of the Lord is more concerned about other folk than it is just you. The presence of the Lord is bigger than you. It's about God. The presence of the Lord. How many folk want to get caught up in the presence of the Lord? Because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world cannot take it away. The presence of the Lord. That's why, now let me go a little bit higher to the heavenly realm. That's why John says in Revelation, the same gospel writer who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he also now writes the fifth book under his authorship, the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation chapter 4, I want you to notice something. Go to verse number 1. He says, after these things, I looked and behold a door standing open. And the voice said to me, come up here and I will show you things which must take place. I want you to note this, and this dictum to come up here. And John responds in verse number 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. Let me just help you understand something. If you don't get in the Spirit of the Lord, you cannot see the things of the Lord. John would not have been able to see what the revelation was going to be about if he had not been snatched up a little bit higher, if he had not been caught up a little bit higher. That's why the voice said, come up here. I need some more folk just to stay right there, because some folk are down here and God is saying to you, come on up here a little bit higher. And the higher you become, the more God will reveal. You're not getting that message, are you?
Some of you are wondering why things are going on, why you're in certain places of your life. But I need you to come up a little bit higher. God's got everything for you up here. It's got nothing for you down here. And so therefore, I like what the Spirit told John. John, come up a little bit higher. I want to show you some things. Here's what I want you to see, John. I want you to see my presence. Now, heretofore, I have shared with you how God has manifested his presence in us, to us, and through us. Yes? But now, in the heavenly realm, God doesn't have to manifest his presence to us. We have to bask in the presence of him. Let me say that one more time, because this thing ministered to me. Maybe I was the only one that it ministered to. That heretofore, when God created the heavens and the earth, he manifested his presence. Heretofore, when God created Adam and Eve, he manifested his presence in the creation of the in creating us in the Imago Dei, in his image. Heretofore, God manifested his presence when he stepped out of heaven, wrapped himself in flesh, came down through 42 generations, was born of a virgin girl by the name of Mary. We believe that Jesus was the manifestation of God here on earth. God manifested God's self through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came. But when you get to the heavenly realm, there's no more need for us to manifest down there. Now you've got to come up here and see my presence, God says. Now the text turns and John is swept up to see things in the heavenly realm. And the first thing that John sees in the heavenly realm is this throne that the Bible says in verse number 4, chapter 4, verse number 2. He says, and behold, a throne set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And so therefore, understand the theology of what is consistent throughout Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the great Shema, which means to hear, to listen. God says to Moses to tell the people of Israel, Shema, listen, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy might, all of thy mind and soul and being. And then in the end of the book, he says in Revelation, John was looking on the throne and he saw one who sat on the throne. You know that you and I believe that God is three in one and one in three. That he is one God that manifested himself as Father, as Son, and as Holy Ghost. And I'm so glad when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to see God sitting on the throne. And I'm going to see not three gods, I'm going to see one God, and I'm going to join in with some other folk, and I'm going to worship that one God. You're not getting the message, I am. Anybody want to go to heaven? Does anybody want to get caught up where John was? Anybody want to see the things of heaven? Revelation is the greatest glimpse into heaven that you and I have on earth. It's a sneak preview of what heaven's going to be like. And so in the middle of the throne, if I can use my heavenly imagination, in the middle of the sea, there was a throne that sat on it one. But when you look further in the text, it says in verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on those 24 thrones sat 24 elders. And then it goes on to say in verse number 6, that before the throne there was a sea of glass, and there were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and in the back. Now, even though the New King James does not say the word that is used there in Revelation 4, chapter 6 is the word cherubim. Yeah. Cherubim are similar to seraphim. Seraph is a Hebrew word that means fiery messenger. And so seraphs were sent by God as messengers. Some would call them angels. And so a seraph can be likened unto an angel, a fiery angel. I like that. I'm not just an angel, I'm a fiery angel. I don't want to just be a witness, I want to be a fiery witness. I want to be on fire for the Lord. I want to be excited for the Lord. Any seraph sitting in this sanctuary today? Anybody on fire for the Lord? Anybody excited about what God? That's all right, I can be excited by myself. And so I am on the end of a Hebrew word means plurality. And so seraph is singular. Seraphim means plural. And so in Isaiah chapter 6, when the Bible says, "And I, the day King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And around him were some seraphs. And the seraphs had six wings. Two wings to fly, two wings to guard their feet, two wings to hide their eyes." Because when you are in the presence of the Lord, God is so holy, you can't look at him. When you're in the presence of the Lord, God is so holy, you can't stand on the same ground. When you're in the presence of the Lord, God is so holy, all you can do is just suspend yourself and shout what they shouted, "Holy, holy, holy." Seraphim. But in Revelation chapter 6, it says four living creatures. But when you read further and you compare these four living creatures, guess what? They also had six wings. So cherubs and seraphs are similar of the angelic order. Now, I don't know why God has all of these different kind of angels, but all I can say is that God is such a great God that he did not just limit his creation to those of us on earth. There's some creation orders in the heavenly realm. There's some elders up there. There's some cherubs up there. There's some seraphs up there. And when you go over then to Revelation chapter 7, it talks about 144,000. Now, I don't want to lose you here, but I just want you to help me to understand what is God's presence in the heavenly realm. So up there are some cherubim and some seraphim and some elders. And then the Bible says in Revelation 7, 144,000, 12 times 12,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel equal 144,000. But also in Revelation chapter 7, you keep on reading a little bit further, it says in verse number 9 that there was also, in addition to the 144,000, a number that no man could number. I need you all just to stay right there, because those numbers that no man can number was coming from all kinds of tribes and all kinds of nations and all kinds of backgrounds. Let me just be real clear. Up there, there's going to be some black folk and some white folk and some Asian folk. Now, they may not look like we look right now, but they're coming from every tribe, every nation, every background. And if you're going to worship with them up there, you might as well get used to worshiping. So I know we've got a predominantly black church, but I'm glad I've got some white folk in this black church. And I know there's some predominantly white churches, but I'm glad there's some black folk in those white churches. Because how many of you know that no race has a monopoly on God, that all of us, come on somebody, are created in the image of God. And if I'm going to worship with you up there, I might as well get used to worshiping with you down here. So therefore, I've got a Hispanic sister who just joined, Sister Feliciano, and I've got the Mariahs who just joined, and I've got some others of different racial ethnic background, and I'm glad that God created me black and them white and her Hispanic, because all of us are created in the image of God, and we've all got something to bring to the table of brotherhood and sisterhood. But here's what I like even more. The Bible goes on to talk about, not only do you see these created orders up there in the heavenly realm, but when they got into the presence of God, I need you to see what they did. When they got into the presence of God, the Bible says in verse number 11, and all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they began to worship God, and they said, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and power and thanksgiving and honor and might belong to our God. Amen. And I need you to understand that that statement, amen, means it is so. It is like a punctuation mark on the end of a declarative statement. It is as if you say there's nothing else to be said. It's all been said. Amen. I need you to understand there's a song that's out right now. Let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
When you know that your God has brought you from a mighty long way, let the church say,
amen.
When you know that your God moved mountains out of your way, let the church say,
amen.
When you know God has fought your battles and put your enemies under your feet, let the church say,
amen.
When you know that God opened up doors that nobody else could have opened, let the church say,
amen.
When you know that God put food on your table, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, let the church sing.
Amen.
When you know God healed you of cancer, let the church sing.
Amen.
When you know God healed you of your sickness, let the church sing.
Amen.
When you know God gave you that job you're working at, let the church sing.
Amen.
When you know God has been a fence of a protection all around you, let the church sing.
Amen.
When you know God has brought you, picked you up, turned you around, put your feet on solid ground, let the church sing.
Amen.
When you know God is everything you need him to be, let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. There's nothing else to be said but amen. My God is worthy. He's worthy of our praise in the heavenly realm. When we get there, I'm talking about after he said, well done. After your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. After you've been able to go into one of the 12 gates of the city. When you get there, all you're going to do is do like Tremaine said, one of these old mornings, and it won't be very long, you're going to look for me, and I'll be gone. I'm going to a place where I've got nothing to do but walk around heaven all day. Every day shall be Sunday, and Sabbath shall know no end. I'ma praise him in the morning. I'ma praise him in the evening. I'ma praise him in the noonday. I'm gonna praise him like the seraphim, like the cherubim, like the elders, like the number that no man can number, like St. Peter, like St. Michael. I'm going to bow down. And I'm going to say, God, might and glory and honor belong to you. All I can say, God, is amen. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Thank you, God. Amen. 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 Do I have anybody that agree with me? Amen. Do I have any witnesses today? Amen. Amen. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, ministers, I want you to go to the chapel and extend an invitation while the deacons and the deaconess stand in the sanctuary, the main part of the sanctuary. The choir is going to sing. Now as they get ready to sing, there's a song that has become very popular here lately. God has spoken. And let the church say. See, the theology of the song is this. When God speaks, there's nothing else to be said. All you can then say is, amen. I want you to sing this song with the choir. And Holy Ghost, I'm asking that you would minister to someone. And that you would draw someone from their seat into where you want them to be. I pray that if someone is broken and hurting today, that they would understand that you've come to have give us life and have it more abundantly. Father, lift someone up higher like you did John. In the name of Jesus, have your way in this place. God, you've spoken. And I pray that someone hears you today. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, choir. And as they sing, if you're here today and you're looking for a church home, I want you to step out of your seat and give us your hand. Give God your heart. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Bless your name, God. Is there someone today